Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Here we go. Another show. Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host today, Marvin Smith. And you know what? I'm flying solo as a host. But every Monday from 11 a.m. to noon Pacific Standard Time, we will bring you special guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today in our constantly changing future. Answers for the Family will address issues such as locating your runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, and dealing with addictions, and so much more. Even as our show today, I believe, is going to be very riveting and very insightful because we're talking about education in the 21st century. As I'm sure many of you expected to hear the other host, my partner, my good buddy, Mr. Alan Cardoza, voice with me this morning. We are reminded of the reality of what he does when he is not on air. As a licensed private investigator and crisis interventionist, he gets calls and has to respond quickly. Be it locating a runaway, escorting a teen to a specialized program, or retrieving an abducted child. I just spoke to him not too long ago, and he is doing everything he can to locate a runaway teen that has been living on the streets for over the past week. Of course, I wish him swift success in the rescue. Go, go, get him, Alan. All right, our topic today. Well, our theme. Here's our theme. Teens speak out. Just because you live in South Central Los Angeles doesn't mean you can't be empowered. Listen to that one more time. Just because you live in South Central, and I guess what we're referring to, being in South Central has this stigma or it has this outlook that you're living in, you know, urban inner city and, you know, the student or kids in that environment, they don't have voices. They can't, you know, or maybe they're just not intelligent. I don't know. But, you know, if you think about news on a national basis, you talk about South Central, you start to think of negative images. But today, we're going to talk about some things that are so insightful. We have some students, or a student, in the studio with us today from Student Empowerment Academy, which is a charter school in South Central. It's a high school. It's a small, autonomous high school, and it's doing some very unique things. And I'm going to give maybe a little backdrop so we understand what we're working here, what working with. Student Empowerment Academy, contribution to Los Angeles Unified School District, South Central Los Angeles region, is turning out a high percentage of first-generation college-bound students. First-generation college-bound. They're doing some great works. Students from Student Empowerment Academy are live today in the studio. Woohoo! With us to discuss about that old adage, nothing is perfect, and the fact that when you encourage strong thought leaders, you can expect the system to be challenged. The acronym SEA, which is Student Empowerment Academy, student leaders at the academy did just that as they staged a school-wide protest April 29th through May 5th. Over issues they felt needed to be addressed, but the bottom line, it was about their educational needs and representing the community they come from, South Central Los Angeles. So in the studio today, we have our special guest, Ariana Esther. Ariana, how are you today?
I'm doing great, actually.
Well, it's great to have you in the studio.
It's fun to be here.
Well, thank you. I think we have somebody, I don't know, who's this other person that happened to just walk in? Excuse me, miss?
Yes.
Are you in the right studio? Or?
I am.
Oh, you're okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. And who are, and what's your name, Miss Carla?
Miss Carla.
Oh, well, I guess since the wind dragged you in, welcome to the conversation.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So real quick, what do you think about when you hear the word South Central? What comes to mind?
Urban inner city.
Okay. And does when I think of urban inner city, you know, when you think of urban inner city, at least, you know, it's always this image. You know, you think about in today's world, sound bites, images. And when you look at the news, I just have this thought when I think of urban inner city, nothing good. I don't think about sprawling, you know, metropolitan, you know, urban development. I always see underserved, at risk, underrepresented. And we're talking about socioeconomics. But that being said, you know, I'm one of those kids who happened to come from an urban environment. I'm one of those kids, as they said, grew up, came out of the hood. And they said, where I grew up, nothing nice, nothing good comes out of there. And you know what? I'm here to say, good things do come out of the neighborhood. And an example of that is a young lady that we have in the studio. But as we go further, you know, the show is not just about the accolades for the Academy. It's also about, you know, what these students have endured, what they see, what they understand to be, you know, first generation, second generation, college bound. When you have an environment where you have a high rate of kids not even succeeding, not even finishing high school. In contrast to similar events at other schools, the SEA students attended school, although they did not attend class during their demonstration. They were determined to be heard, and heard they were. As Marvin Smith, myself, and the board of directors of the SEA Charter High School interceded with respect for all involved, allowing the students to present their point of view while simultaneously implementing workable solutions that made both the administration and students winners. The outcome demonstrates the core values of the Academy in instilling empowerment and leadership in their students. Myself, who now I was a board member, became the interim principal to help navigate the school through the troubled waters. But you know the bottom line? I really, really enjoyed. I enjoy young people. I enjoy the students from my heart. And they're so intelligent young people who are determined to make their community and their school a better place. And anybody, I don't care, anywhere in America, I will always step up to do what's right for those reasons. Now, a little bit about the high school. Student Empowerment Academy. New Technology High School is an autonomous small high school housed on the campus of Thomas Jefferson High School in Los Angeles. In June of 2009, they reached their maximum enrollment of about 400 students and celebrated their first graduating class. And in 2013, the school converted to a charter school. So it was a small school on the campus of Jefferson, like a magnet school, small learning community, and then it became a charter school. SEA is based on a collaborative working environment in which students are expected to meet content standards, develop technology skills, and master school-wide learning outcomes. The student strives to foster proactive and to take ownership of their own education. All the curriculum instruction centers on project-based learning with a one-to-one student-to-computer ratio, daily advisory periods, personalized academics, and foster students' social growth. Advisory teachers also serve as coaches to provide individual academic intervention and support to all students as needed. In SEA's personalized small school environment, students graduate college ready, and I am looking at one of those college ready individuals right in front of me. Which, if you guys were in the studio, you could take a look at her. She has this smile. This smile is as big as this room. Just as all I can see is teeth. Okay, let me quit here. Okay, let me quit. Okay, with skills that are needed for the 21st century workplace, noteworthy programs and successes. So the school really is doing some phenomenal things, but you know, it hit a bump in the road. And in the studio today, we have one of those college-bound individuals, Ariana Esther, who has a full-ride scholarship to St. Mary's College. I'm a big kid, so I'm excited just to see, knowing the experience she's going to have. So, Ariana, once again, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thank you.
So how are you enjoying yourself so far?
It's fun. This is really exciting. A lot to process.
Yes, it is. And, you know, but this is called talk radio.
Oh, yeah.
So we process, we talk. But I think your mind probably is thinking about, okay, I got to move into the dorms. I got my internship program.
No. I'm trying to take it slow.
Okay. So, okay, let's go here. Let's have some questions. Giving teens a voice. I mean, the school students protested. I mean, and we're not going to spend a lot of time on the protest, demonstration, but basically, what does it mean to be empowered?
Well, I mean, I think people have a different definition of what being empowered is. Some people think empowerment is, you know, constantly getting reminded that you can do it. For me, empowerment was like, you know, having a support team really helps people empowerment, whether it's family, friends, people on a team. I know you played sports. You still got the athlete, you know, the built. You guys can't see him, but he's like, he's muscular. He's like super built.
I thought I was super smart, but okay. you know, geez.
You're both. You've got them both. But, you know, as long as you have support, that support team or support group, whatever it is, they're going to help empower you. Whether it's climbing a mountain or, like for me, going to college, it was my, you know, the schools and stuff. As long as you have people that are willing to see, watch you succeed, that's empowerment, you know. That's how you get empowerment, I guess you can say.
Empowerment. So otherwise, what you're saying is having that support doesn't make a difference. Okay, let me back up and correct me if I'm wrong. So it doesn't make a difference where you come from?
No. As long as you have support, you know, don't think that people like, you know, Kobe Bryant, he didn't make it alone. He had support. You know, he has a team, his family, that empowers him to always want to go out the next night, you know, and give it more than 110%. That's like the key to empowerment. You need to have a good support team or support group.
So then, you know, I could assume then, looking at being a student, this was your senior year at Student Empowerment Academy, that while you were there, you had the support of, you had a support group.
Yeah, I had, you know, well, I had the kids in my advisory who are like the best. My advisor, they helped. She was amazing. And then on top of that, you have the whole school that's willing to help you succeed. They're empowering you to succeed. So, you know, the SEA, you know, that whole school, literally the E in SEA is empowerment. That's what they do. Like, that's like the best thing about that school is like they help
student
you.
Student empowerment.
Yeah.
Empower the students.
Pretty much, yeah. That's what the whole model is.
I got to say this before we go forward. And you've heard me say this before. I am so proud of you.
Thank you so much.
You know, it's almost like, bring tears to my eyes, like you're one of my, you know, you're one of mine. I mean, I think they're all mine. I don't know. My wife says, "What are you going to do? Bring them all? Gonna bring them all home?" I said, "I guess we got to make space or something." You know, Ms. Carla, any thoughts on empowerment?
Yes. While sitting here listening to Ariana, and in the short time that I've been in her company, just recently meeting her, I am so impressed with the individual that I've been in the company of. And it speaks volumes for the empowerment for the E and C, because she represents that.
And the thing, she just graduated as a senior in high school, and you would think she's far beyond, you know, I've dealt with a lot of students in my life, and far beyond a senior that just graduated out of high school.
Yes, and she definitely reflects having a support system around her and in her life.
That's good. That's good. Well, let me ask you this. You know, we talk about empowerment, and, you know, as I listen to you, Ms. Carla, and I'm listening to you, Ariana Esther, that you had to get it in there. You had to get the whole thing in. Esther.
Yeah.
As I think about, you know, you shared you had all the support. Something happened somewhere. The reason why, you know, a majority of the majority of the students wanted to protest. I mean, something happened. I don't want to get into the detail, but mm-hmm. what do you think was based around that? I mean, if you don't mind asking.
I wasn't too much involved in it, but from what I got, you know, I think the kids were just. They were just speaking up. They felt that they didn't have a voice anymore. So, like anyone, whether you're a teenager or not, when you feel that you're not being heard, you make sure you're being heard. So, I think that's why they did it. That's why they did it. They wanted to be heard. You know, they weren't going to go and let things happen without them making sure that their voice is heard.
And so we're going back to it. Here we go again. Just because I live in South Central doesn't mean I don't have a voice. And mm-hmm. and I believe the school is doing a phenomenal job in empowering students to exercise their First Amendment, which was freedom of speech.
Yeah.
And so they took that responsibility and as they felt, and they demonstrated. Now, one thing I can say. Looking at things from a different perspective, mm-hmm. being a board member and then understanding communities and the politics. And I was there from the day one of the protesting through the whole process and was trying to communicate that I understood what they felt, what students felt. I understand the needs. And ultimately, I was trying to share that there are ways of handling the situation and what they want. But, you know, one thing that I was trying to impress, and I think that from the administration of the school or even the board and the LAUSD, is the fact that you can't miss instructional time. I mean, it's important that, I mean, the reason why their school is to become empowered by being educated, that we can have many, 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 many more Arianas leaving out on a full scholarship to a private college. Would you agree? Or what are your thoughts?
No, I agree. I'm not saying that, you know, like, you know, the school, the kids are protesting because, you know, A, B, and C. I'm not saying that, you know, oh, why is it that, like, you know, why, well, like you said, why is Ariana the one with the scholarship and stuff? I feel that I wasn't there as long as the other kids were, so I can't speak for them. I came from a school not too far from where we're at here in the studio where, you know, they offered at the time, I said, you know, they're not offering a lot. But then when I got to SCA, the other school I went to offered so much. So it's a really big transition. You know, I struggled before I got to SCA and then I get to SCA and there's these people that are willing to help you. You know, they go above and beyond for you. So you succeed with help. But I feel that the kids, you know, like going back off track and stuff. They protested because I feel that they didn't have that support anymore.
Mm.
And to some people, I know, like, oh, they're just being rebellious, like teenagers. It's a phase. But no, it's like, you know, these kids are they're really smart. They're all talented. They're amazing kids.
They are.
And they just felt that they were losing that support. They weren't being heard. So, of course, you know. What's the best way to get heard? Well, you protest, and in the process, they were missing, you know, instruction days and whatnot. But honestly, it's better to get to be heard. I'm not saying it's better to like protest than to go to school.
Right,
no,
right,
like,
right.
Go,
yeah.
go
no,
to
I
school.
Understand.
But in this situation, I want to get heard. You know,
yes.
I can miss two days, 3 days of instruction, but as long as I'm being heard. Then, you know, this is good.
Yes. And I you know, and I, 'cause I'm a big kid at heart, and my, for me, it's really understanding. I think, you know, they say wisdom is the principal thing, but in all you're getting, get understanding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what does wisdom mean if you don't have understanding? So I really believe in one thing I was really trying to do, and the reason why I was there, was really trying to have to understand and be able to communicate that with the powers to be, so we could come to some resolve that everybody was happy. But at the end of the day is, you know, our purpose, or the purpose of the school, is to move every student, is to address every needs of each student, that they could become a better person academically, you know, emotionally, whatever, you know, all of that. So there was a purpose. So let me ask you this now. Ms. Carla, would you like to chime in on that or not?
Do you know what I'm actually thinking at this time is a brief conversation that Ariana had before sitting here and being live? Is true empowerment is an environment that was present at sea during the protest, where all decisions that each student made for themselves was respected.
Mm-hmm.
There were students who chose not to be a part of it, and that was respected.
Yeah.
And those students who chose to protest was respected. And that spoke volumes to me.
Yeah.
Because that is an environment that has cultivated empowerment. Empowerment to be who you are.
And not only that, but those kids, they're so understanding. They're amazing. You know, that me personally, I told them, I said, you know, I support you in whatever. I sound like my mom. I support you in whatever you do. You know, I'm there for you 100%. If you need me, call, but I'm not going to be there all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I said, so pretty much use me wisely.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
and you know, something else that comes to mind is something that you shared, Ariana, is that when you chose for yourself not to protest, but mm-hmm. to be in the classroom for those instructional hours, you also posed very pertinent questions to those students that you needed answers to, and they answered you. And so there was a process that was really a thought-out process, and they were thinking it out as they were proceeding and progressively moving forward.
Yeah. As a kid, you like to act on instinct. I know I do to this day. Or, like, I'll see something. Ooh, it's shiny. I'm going to get it. Turns out it's not
meant for kids. There's big adults that do the same thing.
Yeah, you know. Oh, look, this looks cool. Let me buy this car. Oh, look, I'm in debt now. For me, I used to always be like, oh, what's this? Oh, no, it's mine now. Mm-hmm. Let me get it. I don't care how much it costs, what it costs.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my mom, she told me, she's like, always ask who, what, when, where, and why.
Mm-hmm.
So when the kids were like, oh, well, we got to do this and that, why? Because of A, B, and C. Okay, when? This date. Okay. What are we doing this for exactly? What's the outcome? And they're like, well, you know, we got to get our voices heard. I said, yeah, you can do that by writing letters. Mm-hmm. You know, but they're like, yeah, but come on, anyone can throw away a letter. I said, you're right. So, you know, when you start asking these questions, not only do I get information, but then they kind of go, oh, yeah, well, yeah, why are we doing this?
Exactly.
You know? Because it's kind of like, you know, have you ever seen the movie Tropic Thunder? They just go out and they're like, what are we running for? They're like, I don't know, just run. So it's kind of like that, you know? It's like, let's go and do this. For what? No idea. Let's just. But then once you start knowing what to do, and when you have everything ready and set, there's no way you can fail. Like, you can't. You're prepared, you know, you're ready. So,
and if the cause is that important to you,
oh yeah, if it's
you're going to go above and beyond. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if it was like, what are we protesting for? Oh, we don't want granola bars in the vending machines. It's like, go to class.
Yes.
Stay home.
Yes. Yes. You know, and I chuckle because, wow, on one hand, it was chaotic. I mean, it was the demonstration of protesting was very peaceful.
Oh, yeah.
Because there were demonstrations going on at other campuses mm-hmm. that were not peaceful.
Jefferson had one earlier before us, and I wasn't there, but from what I heard, it
wasn't peaceful.
It got real.
Yeah, so understanding that, I give a lot of credit to the students. I mean, they and the bottom line is, it's like anything else. You know, when I start hearing about, you know, wanting to take away things and be punitive, like, okay, mm-hmm. if they don't get back to class, let's do X, Y, Z, like take away the prom, take away their senior trips. And you know, in my thinking, along with other smart people, board members, like, wait a minute. It's not about being punitive. It's about giving them a voice. I mean, this is the reason why the whole purpose of the school was to empower these youth, these teens, and that the goal is that they will one day walk away from this environment and become great leaders wherever they go. And matter of fact, be able to come back to the communities they left and help to empower and make them better communities.
Yeah. When kids are, I'm speaking from experience, I have two little brothers. When they want to act up, and you start taking things away from them, like no PlayStation, no TV, no Xbox.
Does that work?
It makes it worse. In the moment, it makes it worse.
Yes.
But, you know, they're kids and, you know, well, they're, you know, my brother, he's 7 and 7 and 12. So when you start taking away Xbox and they get so upset, they do things just out of like, you know, out of
spite,
impulse.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, oh, you're going to take this? Bam, I'm going to break, you know, the China cabinet. Oh, you're going to take away my computer, bam, it just broke, you know, a door. So when you do when you're the kids are upset, so when you start taking things away, they get more upset and they do a lot of dumb things. So I, you know, you got to talk to them with reason, you know, or let them cool down and then start taking stuff away, you know.
Well,
so
I think
it's too late to get upset because they're cooled down already,
you know. And I think it goes back to the word understanding.
Uh-huh.
Because when we actually listen and hear what the individual is saying, it's not going to be punitive.
Mm.
You know, being the mother of 6 kids and 5 grandbabies,
mm.
boy, have I learned,
yeah.
you know, that actually when we operate with the punitive, it has an adverse effect.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, too, if we look at the bigger construct of things and we start talking about, you know, demonstrations and protesting, I mean, this is nothing new. This has happened. I mean, if we think about civil rights and we talk about, you know, people standing up for justice just within itself, you know, and they said, hey, we're if you don't stop, you're going to jail. Do you think they now stop and go back to home? They go to jail because they're so, they said, hey, we got to make a stance. We believe so strongly. So understanding, as you were just sharing, I believe the board members of the school really start to understand that and want to have some resolve and to bring us to where we're at today. And so, you know, that being shared, then, what, you know, would you say the protesting was successful, or was it a win-win, or did what somebody win, somebody lose, or what do you think? How do you think overall it came out? And I know within that process, you know, I stepped down from the board
mm-hmm.
and became the principal to get in the middle of it.
Oh, yeah.
So
I think it was really successful. The kids wanted one thing, and people were like, no. And the kids were like, well, good luck. We're going to stay out here until we get what we want. And it worked. What they were asking for, it worked. And, you know, because they were civilized about it and they were, you know, peaceful with it, it worked. You know, for example, you take a look at the riots, you know, back in when I was, you know, a thought in my mom's mind, the Rodney King riots and then the riots in, where was it, Baltimore recently.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Those weren't peaceful because you had, you like you said, oh, we're going to arrest you. And to people, when you start looking at numbers, you're like, okay, well, there's a whole city and then there's 2 police officers. Who's going to win? You know, so then, of course, you get into that whole not being peaceful and, you know, the name calling and the bashing and the rioting and stuff. You know, it gets out of hand, and then no one wants to listen to you, you know, when you act a fool.
Right.
You know, like my mom says, she's like, who do you think they're gonna listen to, the person that knows what they're talking about or the person that's just yelling and screaming and
yes.
not just saying gibberish? So the kids were peaceful about it, and that's how they were able to succeed. They succeeded in their protest. They got what they wanted.
And getting what they wanted, was it any merit to it, or was it, or did it bring to light something that was, you know, because I think ultimately it was about having the students where they felt they were losing their voice mm-hmm. at the school. And so being successful to me would mean that they were able to gain their voice back.
Yeah, like you said, diplomacy. It brought to light that, hey, we're here and, hey, we have a voice. Like, just because you're in charge of this doesn't mean you can say what you want. It's like, at the end of the day, it's us that people care about, you know?
Do you know what I think that I'm hearing Ariana express is that it's important for all of us, no matter what age, to be valued and to matter.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And that is. I mean, and that carries a long ways. And sometimes when you come from certain neighborhoods, being honest, it's something that's not always looked at that way. And, you know, so when you can start to empower kids or teens from a certain community and they start to understand, I think that's the one major leap step forward to making our society a better place for all. Because ultimately, it doesn't make a difference where you come from. You know, I think we all, as humans, want the same thing. We want to be in safe neighborhoods. We want to be able to provide a living, you know, if we're married and have children. We want to be able to provide a decent living. We want to live in have a nice place to live. I mean, I think...
Quality education.
Quality education.
I think people just want to be treated equally. It doesn't matter where you're at, as long as you're being treated like a human. You know, whether you're someone homeless in downtown or, you know... a celebrity living in the hills, you just want to be treated equally, you know? Like, same thing in South Central. You know, I used to live in the Valley. Everyone's treated equally, and then you go to South Central, and people are like, oh, where are you from? Be like, oh, South Central. And they're like, lock the doors, kids, and stay, you know? People just want to be treated equally.
Yes.
Doesn't matter what you look like. You can be 6 feet tall, you can be 2 feet tall. As long as you're treated the same, that's all people want.
But as long as you're not a leprechaun.
Oh, well, if you're a leprechaun, like, hey, you are not going to be treated equally.
So let me ask you this. This is, here once again, this is, we're live in studio, and we have Ariana Esther, one of the students at Student Empowerment Academy, which is a phenomenal high school.
Alumni student, technically.
Excuse me. Technically an alumni, now an ambassador, because she will be coming back and forth to represent as an ambassador to the school. And she already promised me that she was going to do that. So, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I will make a lot of time.
Yes. Even though she's talking about going to medical school and all that good stuff.
We will Skype. Yeah, I will be there in spirit.
Yes. We'll figure it out. But let me ask you this. So do you, now, because there's two sides of everything.
Mm-hmm.
It was successful. Students were able to voice, and they were able to feel like get resolve. But then again, how they went about it, which was peaceful, which I admire. But there was some other backdrops, things that were going on that sometimes as adults and board members that I knew, mm-hmm. that I was aware, that were some major implications that wasn't helping the situation. So, that being shared, do you feel or did you see any of the backlash from the protesting? Maybe, and this is life. We talk about as a young person, there's this word called politics.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, politics dictate certain things that we have sometimes can't control.
And there's pros and cons.
Oh, no, yes. There's pros and cons in everything. Mm-hmm. Literally everything that you do, there's a pro and con. But honestly, from my point of view, I didn't see a backlash. Well, I guess because as a kid, you don't care about politics. So I wasn't paying attention for that, wasn't focused on that. It probably happened, I didn't notice it. But speaking, I think maybe someone else, I wish, you know, my whole class was here because they probably would have seen it or something. But me, I didn't see anything like that.
Well, and I guess the other part was something that I was dealing a lot with was, all of a sudden, now the school was under the microscope.
Mm-hmm.
And now they were talking about, here's a great school that the powers that be, they were actually looking at shutting the school down.
I heard about that. Yeah. When they started saying, oh, the school's going to shut down if they keep protesting, that's when I started to tell them, I said, okay, let's get real now. We're asking for this, and they're saying that. And they're like, well, they can't shut the school down. I said, they can take away a lot if they wanted to. Because they have... If no one wants to go to school, what's the point of having the school open?
And then if it's true what they're saying too, and all of a sudden you have, you know, an administration and you have those who are supposed to be running the school in operation, not in control, not doing what they're supposed to do. So if I'm an authorizer, I go, well, hey, it's out of control, and there's issues. Why do we let it continue down this pathway?
Why is it still here?
Then there's no need for it to be here. So that became, I look at it as part of backlash, and I would say that's part of the reason why I stepped down, to kind of help resolve, to get in the middle of it. And I would have to say in a 6 weeks term that we all, meaning students, parents, staff, teachers, administration, board, we all wrapped our heads around this thing, and I think we expeditiously turned things around, and not just around, but on the trajectory forward, upward, and out. What do you think?
Yeah. That was amazing what you just said. Took me a while to process.
Oh, wow. That was called, it's called quick wit.
That was good. Yeah.
Do you know what it actually did? Is it really showed the true leadership that is there.
Yes.
When students protest, I think the first thought to my mind would be, where's the leadership?
Oh, yeah.
How did it get to this point?
Yeah.
But to see such a massive turnaround in such a short amount of time is just reflective of the quality leadership that is there.
No, to some people, it's like... from an adult point of view, I guess you can say, when kids are like, you know, when there's like, okay, who's the ringleader? And you assume, okay, well, they're being influenced by the ringleader. And it was like, no, these kids were just, technically, they were all the ringleaders, you know. And there wasn't like, oh, well, because so-and-so's doing it, I want to do it too. No, it was like, no, these kids are doing it because they're doing it for themselves. Each and every one of them. There was no set leader. You can point fingers at someone because, oh, they influenced. It was everyone. Everyone influenced themselves to do it.
Which is a testament, to me, of the uniqueness of the school.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the school's about. It was empowerment. They just happened to use their empowerment in this process. And, you know, and students wanted to, they started sitting at the table negotiating and doing things, which was, you know, phenomenal. And it went, you know, but the one thing that I saw as kind of, I always say, looking down 30,000 foot elevation and over to see and process, it went from empowerment to entitlement. And what that means is the students, they had their rights.
Yeah, no, of course.
But then it became very solid in a stance that we're not going to budge. It's almost like we got an inch. Now we're going to move another. You know what? If we don't get this, we're not going to budge at all. And it came back to, wait a minute. Well, okay. You guys, we understand. So we got to be fair about this. We all have to work together in this process, because at the end of the day, it is about the students. And at the end of the day, it's about every student having an opportunity to achieve at the highest level academically and to be able to kind of move up and move on with life. And if we continue to not make that movement, then, you know, we're stalemate. And that's not the purpose. The purpose was, the reason why I got involved was always about the students.
Yeah. No, I knew that when you got there, you were really, you know, you were all about the students. And I was like, you know what? Let's give him a chance. I know as a teenager, sometimes I see adults as like the enemy. It's like, oh, give me back my MTV, you know. But I was like, you know what? He's understanding. He's listening. He's doing his best. Let's give him a shot. So, you know. That's all you need. You need, like, going back to what I said, empowerment. You know, you need that support. You need someone. You need to know that someone's there for you.
Yes, yes.
You know, and that's why those kids were there. Like, you know, they weren't going to stop until they got what they want.
I'm going to share something real quick. And, you know, wow, I can't believe how fast time goes. The show is, we've got another 10 minutes.
Wow.
And I have some listener questions that have come through. I mean, that went by fast. Supposed to take a commercial break, and I guess what we'll do, we'll take the commercial break right now. But in brief, you know, when Ariana, I was at the school going through at the midst of all this, and at one point I was ready to walk away from it. It's like I'm talking. I said, I don't have to be here. I don't have to do this. And, you know, Ariana, she came over to me, and I said, I think I'm going to go to the office and pack. I'm leaving. And she looked at me, and she looked in my eyes and basically made me welt up. She goes, you know, Mr. Marvin, if you leave, you might be the last hope that we have. Mm. The reason why we protested, and if and it might get lost in, if the school shuts down, it gets lost in the stuff, it doesn't help anybody. And that, and I got to be honest, you know, it's like God speaking to me, you know, out of the mouths of babes. And it was like, I had to take a deep breath and go, and I looked at her and said, like, why? And I had to ask the question, why am I here? What is the purpose? If it's about students and I got to fight the good fight and be that active voice on their behalf, you know, but help steer and guide through the process. And that was the factor. That moment changed me to fight the fight to where we're at today. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to finish up the show. And once again, we're in the studio here with Ariana Esther, one of the phenomenal students at Student Empowerment Academy, along with Ms. Carla, who's a community advocate, a person who's just has a lot of heart for what's right, and myself here on Answers for the Family.
So much harder.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, Westshield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
We are live back in the studio. And wow, what great conversation, as we talk about talk radio and how great it has been to have, I am moved within myself. And I've done a lot of shows, and I guess because I'm a big kid at heart and look at all the crisis intervention work that I've been involved with Westshield and my relationship with Alan Cardoza and now being in the studio, and having a platform for students to share, I'm really moved. So we have a listener question, and I'd be remorse not to be able to, people that listen to the show on a regular basis who are all over the country that, you know, they either email, call in, and so here's a question. My son struggled in public school until eighth grade, when we were lucky enough for him to be accepted to a charter school. He has since raised his grades from D's and F's to A's and B's. He is more confident and has learned how to be a better learner. What can we as parents and or voters do to get our public schools to operate more like charter schools? Ooh, that's a tough one. I mean, no. It's
putting people on the spot. Be careful what you say.
I look at, from my perspective, being a reformer, educational reformer, being in the charter school world for now over the last 10 years, in traditional education, I believe parties all have to come together, and only way schools are going to operate, because all charters are not the same either, only way that we're going to operate, we got to come together and understand what's the purpose. And that purpose is about every student achieving at the highest level. So if we could put away our personal indifferences and understand and focus on outcome for students, whether you're in Beverly Hills, Washington, D.C., Compton, California, Baltimore, New Orleans, it doesn't make a difference. If we can all come together, the adults, and agree to agree on one thing, we're here to support students achieve at the highest level. Why? Because we want America to be the number one country in the world, and we have produced for years, and it's time that we get focused again on being the best. Not for arrogance, but that we can continue to be a source to help the world. Anyway, that's my take on that question. I don't know if it's the right answer, but it's my answer. So what I'd like to do, we're down to like the last four minutes of the show. And I would like to ask Arianna, you know, what does, you have this phenomenal education and you have some great experiences. And on the way here, you were sharing about, you know, internships. You worked at a law firm and now you're going to work at Cedars-Sinai this summer. And I'm just like, make me want to be a kid again. And I'm like, well, she's outdoing me. When I think all I was doing was playing sports back then.
But that was good, though. I wish I played professional sports.
Oh, jeez.
Be able to go to a store. Hey, look, that's my jersey. I'm going to buy a couple of those.
I put my energy into, I did have the opportunity to play professional sports, and it served me well. But you know what? I had a parent who was really focused that if you're going to play, if you can't maintain a B average, you can't play.
Yeah.
And I would go, Dad, all you have to do is have a C to play. He said, I don't care what they say. In this house? And that goes back to that support empowerment mm-hmm. again. This is how it's done. And it served me well over the years. And so now, here you are. So what does the future look like?
College and no sleep. A lot of caffeine. Oh, no, I'm kidding.
And so, hey, you know what? And some of the listeners who've already done that drill, they go, mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm,
like, yeah.
Yep, mm-hmm. I got, yep.
No, for me, I like to live in the moment. I guess my futures, well, they are college, you know, go to university, go to medical school, you know, do my residency, fellowship, all that stuff. I guess for me, the future is, well, whatever happens, happens, you know. I kind of don't look forward to anything. I just kind of, like, let it happen. Because when you look forward to it and it doesn't go your way, you get so upset and bummed out. So I just like, oh, this is coming up. That's good. Well, let's live right now. What's happening now?
Yes.
Let's live for that.
You know what? And I think you're giving advice to a lot of people out there, a lot of our listeners. I think what you just shared is so right on, because sometimes we get so focused on what's in front of us, we forget to stop and savor on the moment of what's in front of us. And, you know, and I want to give you this advice, Arianna. And you're already doing it. Sometimes we're so caught up on the destination, we forget about the journey.
Yeah.
And the moment is living each moment, and it's the journey that is the excitement, and it's the up and the down. It's the process. It's the process that makes us, not the destination.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, like to my friends, I'm like, oh yeah, she's like the hippie of this, you know. She's always there. And it's like, no, it's, I enjoy reading. There was this book I read by this guy named Chris Hardwick. And, you know, he says, you know, enjoy the journey. Enjoy, go outside. Even if it's raining, go out there and enjoy that moment of being in the now.
Yes, yes. That's good. So I can say we're down to the last few minutes. And
yeah.
I can't believe that the show... It went by fast, didn't it?
Yeah, I think I should get my own radio show.
There we go. Say, hey, that's what I'm talking about, inspiring. You should.
I should.
Will you have me come on as a guest?
Yes, I will. Actually, I might bump you and take over your show.
I got so much stuff to do anyway. I wouldn't mind. I would love to come in and be a guest.
Just do talk show or podcast. That's my. Those are.
Okay.
Don't worry. You'll be the first one on my show.
And then you start asking me questions. I'll be like, you'll be like, Mr. Marvick, I know you got more to say than that.
Yeah.
So, Ms. Carla, as we're closing the door, anything in closing, a comment?
It was a pleasure. It was truly a pleasure to be part of your broadcast. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Once again, this is Answers for the Family, LA Talk Radio. I'm your host, Marvin Smith. Along, we had Arianna Esther, one of the students from Student Empowerment Academy. And if you want to find out about the school, go to their website, which is www.seanewtech.org, which is C-S-E-A, new, N-E-W, like tech, T-E-C-H.org, cnewtech.org. And you can find out all the latest, greatest news on what the students are doing. And believe me, you guys are going to hear a lot about that school. And well, enjoy the rest of your day. Goodbye.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Marvin Smith, right here on LA Talk Radio.